Paw Patrol, written by Demery, read by Opalsong. Fandom, My Hero Academia. Rating, teen. Relationship, Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. Also tagged for fluff and angst, sleepy, angry Aizawa, campus patrol, butts, emotion, in which Aizawa realizes Toshi has a freaking problem. Part 10 of the Bandages and Bravado series.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk for miles along the highway. Well, that's just my way.
No more than 2 days after the incident, Aizawa and All Might were teamed up by random draw for curfew patrol at 9 p.m. It was a short duty served by the staff on a regular basis, and not something Aizawa was particularly worried about. Though, admittedly, he hadn't had much time to worry about anything other than Toshinori himself and the indifferent silence that had enveloped all of their interactions in the hallways of UA. It was to their credit that both instructors showed up, greeted each other without a stutter, and began rounds in yet more dutiful silence. It was fine. This, in fact, was the dictionary definition of what fine looked like. They just had to make it a few short rounds and then go their separate ways. However, Aizawa should have figured his particular brand of luck into how easy or hard the night would turn out. Perhaps because he wanted nothing more than to get home and sleep, Aizawa had the uncanniest ability to find students out and engaging in all manner of activities after curfew. Hanging out in the lounges, lighting fires behind buildings, being fires behind buildings, climbing walls, defacing street lamps, and making out in bushes. Real hero stuff. Get back to your separate rooms and sleep, Aizawa finally yelled at a pair of third-years doing just that, hands clawed in front of him. Clearly, three truant students passed his own bedtime. Why the hell don't you want to sleep? Seeing the look of abject terror on the kids' faces as they turned and ran with everything they had, All Might raised a hand, calling out awkwardly,
Yes, best hurry off. Growing bodies need rest. If you want to be number one, you have to sleep like number one.
Aizawa felt his shoulders heaving and jolted as All Might patted him gently on the back. It was like getting whacked with a rolled up carpet. A wet carpet. Filled with rocks.
There, Aizawa-sensei, he chuckled. We're trying to make sure everyone's in bed, not give them nightmares when they get there.
I have better things to be doing, he grunted, forcing his feet to start down the sidewalk again, maybe to put a little distance between him and All Might's huge hand. His head was pounding and his eyes stung, and he'd forgotten his eye drops in the faculty lounge. They were almost done, just one more loop.
Like sleeping? All Might asked mildly.
Aizawa shook his head, like he was trying to wake up from a dream where there were infinite students making out in infinite bushes. There was a pensive pause from the other hero.
Is it usual, this curfew patrol?
It was unofficial before. We would take shifts when we could, Aizawa said with a shrug. He frowned. Now, after the infiltrations, it's official.
Good, he said quietly.
quietly enough that Aizawa glanced back at him, both wary and curious. It was his first time just walking with All Might, as, well, All Might. He had a tracksuit on, a stretchy, blue, clean-cut affair with red and white piping. His huge body had a sense of alarming gravity to it, a density like a mountain, and every little movement sent off a wave that Aizawa could only sense in his bone marrow. It was intimidating and surreal, but Aizawa had to say it was strangest to see it, him, strolling slowly down the sidewalk, without that obnoxious gleaming grin, huge hands hung in his pockets.
"Is this comfortable for you?"
he asked at length as they rounded the corner of the General Studies building.
"Alone."
All Might looked over, making a curious sound, then registered Aizawa's intrigued stare. He looked down at his body and fondly patted his own broad chest like it was a show pony. "Just one more circuit around campus, right? I'm just fine. Still got 30 minutes on the clock. Thank you for asking." Aizawa didn't look away or change his expression. After a moment, All Might smiled. Relenting, he put a knuckle to his chin as he thought, really thought, about his bodies and his pain and the lines between them. "It's a little like having a hangover. As long as I don't move too quickly or exert myself, things go well." His expression was mild, maybe a little bit sheepish, and Aizawa saw for once that his face, this face, could be sort of handsome. Then he grinned that blinding grin and gave a sparkling thumbs up. "So if we get any more runners, it's up to you, Aizawa-sensei. I'm counting on your abilities to save these up-and-coming heroes from falling asleep during class."
"Don't call me that,"
Aizawa muttered, knowing All Might was already tuned out because he was focusing on laughing that stupid laugh. It seemed to take all of his effort. Such a waste.
"Shut up, you'll wake the students."
Mostly, he wanted to say again, but didn't. "I'm fucking sorry. Do you want to talk about it?" To be honest, he was downright unnerved that the symbol of peace was walking next to him, with such apparent ease after they'd woken up stuck together a few days ago. Dicks out. Being almost late for class was the only thing that had saved them from the older hero's paralyzing awkwardness, or another breakdown, Aizawa had thought. But maybe he was wrong. He was probably wrong, because he wasn't actually thinking about it, because he didn't fucking want to, because he knew he'd fucked up. Some part of him wanted to give All Might a kind of credit for displaying emotional maturity after a weird cathartic hookup with a fucking fantastic surprise ending. The other part of him, the sane part that actually wanted him to deal with his shit, was too busy railing at himself for subjecting a teacher and fellow hero to that emotional abuse, which was completely outside the realms of what he claimed he did. The moment that Toshinori said it, the idea that anyone would ever want to touch this body, like it was some alien awful thing he was forced to bear, and he knew it went so much deeper than the self-sacrificial bullshit that the rest of the world fed their golden heroes. Aizawa nearly hit himself. It was his fucking body. This body. How could he have missed it? The reason was easy. He had been angry. Too angry about the kids, too triggered from that stupid potshot All Might took at him through sheer ignorance, too skeptical that it was anything other than social conditioning that was turning this otherwise stupendous man into an abstinent wreck, and he thought he could slap Toshinori out of it. Stupid. Vicious and stupid, which were not words he commonly used to describe himself. But Aizawa was, above all, honest. Then again, with as relaxed as the golden hero seemed at the moment, maybe he just needed a good fuck and wasn't worried how it happened. Either that, or he was thoroughly dissociated and just running the hero tape in his head. Aizawa couldn't deny the second half of their tryst was ridiculously enjoyable. But the fact that Toshinori hadn't snapped and walked out halfway through the kind of treatment that came before said something deeply troubling about what the man's mind must be like.
what his core beliefs were, and what he thought he deserved in this world. And this was All Might. This was the best of the world, the best that the institution and the ideals of heroism itself had to offer, the symbol of peace. The implications alone chilled him. It was a little too fresh to comment on, but he still did that shit. And for right now, Aizawa was just relieved to see Toshinori upright and functional. He would keep watch over the older hero for the next few days, ask the others to look after him as well, and see how he could restart the conversation. There would be a conversation, make no mistake, as long as Toshinori agreed to speak to him again. The two heroes continued rounding in silence, with no more discoveries, until they passed a courtyard and All Might's fluid stride slowed, then stopped, one foot frozen half off the ground. Aizawa glanced over, brows high. "What?" he said, irritated. They were 200 fucking meters from the main building and his keys and his eyedrops. Why hadn't he brought his eyedrops? They were so fucking small. He could have just deferred his internal frustration about this complex emotional situation to his eyedrops, of course. He cursed under his breath. "Look there. Do you see?" A small shape darted underneath the bench where All Might was pointing. A thin tail waved cautiously, almond eyes glinting in the shine from the campus security lights. "It's a cat." Aizawa nearly bit through his tongue. Not even his infinite love for cats could make him like any part of this. Going off trail, All Might carefully stepped over the bench and seemed to ask permission from the tiny crouching shadow before going down to one knee, inspecting the hiding space. Aizawa was momentarily distracted by the perky bulge of the number one hero's ass, which was steely and impeccable even in a tracksuit. He nearly smacked himself on the forehead. "Really?" "There are a few around here," he said, hanging back. "Just back enough." "Really?" All Might was bending further over, almost belly to the ground, worsening the younger hero's concentration issue. This was not the particular part of Toshinori that he was supposed to be worrying about, to be sure. Aizawa wasn't used to his sex drive blindly taking the wheel like this, and wondered at it, especially concerning a body type so far outside his preferences. Maybe it was because he was now thoroughly, awfully attracted to Toshinori in his true form that he was able to see the value in this form. "No," he thought miserably, tilting his head. "You could see the value in that ass from space." "Yes, he's brown and small. A little tattered looking. Did you get in a fight, little one? I don't see a collar." The description was all he needed. Aizawa knew all the cats on campus, but this one was particular. His name was Miko. One of the students had splurged on a name tag, but the little guy seemed to have decided he was better off without it. He was good-tempered but shy, with a fondness for ear scratches and bad luck with other cats, which had probably led to the students unofficially adopting the ragged little boy. Of course, Aizawa wasn't going to tell All Might any of that, because he had to get the fuck home or else his eyes were going to fall out of his head. "Yeah, I see this one around." "So he's homeless?" All Might asked, concerned. He sat back on his haunches, ripples of his broad back visible through the cling of the blue fabric. "I don't like the idea of this little guy outside, exposed to the elements." "It's nearly summer," Aizawa pointed out dully. He looked longingly towards the main building. "That's the last thing you should be worried about right now." "Still, winter is always on its way." The worry in All Might's deep voice was excruciating, and to Aizawa's surprise, as he watched, Miko seemed to forget his intrinsic shyness and streaked eagerly underneath the hero's huge hands, rubbing his cheeks on his thumb with a throaty mewl. "He's so sweet. I wonder if he's hungry. Is that why you're being so friendly, I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you. But maybe if we could see if Rush Hour is still in the kitchen. He likes to stay late sometimes.
Aizawa sighed.
No, he groaned. No, he was frustrated enough to groan, but it mixed with the surrender of a sigh because he guessed they were actually doing this.
There's no reason to worry.
All Might looked over, perplexed, to find Aizawa walking behind and past him. He stopped by a set of bushes and motioned All Might over.
He's a campus cat. It seems some of the students have adopted him.
As the huge hero carefully approached, Aizawa drew back a bow and revealed a set of dingy, mismatched bowls, one of which still had some kibble hanging around. He didn't know how the students scheduled who put kibble out for him and when, but looking at Miko now, it was clear he didn't miss any meals. They might even be doubling up shifts accidentally, looking at that belly. He explained what he'd understood to his co-teacher, whose face went from distressed to thrilled. What a wonderful thing, All Might crowed, as though it were a new invention or a peace treaty instead of some kids taking a shine to a cute cat. You raise some incredible adults here, Aizawa-kun. Responsibility, determination, and heart. Whew, what a relief. I was so worried about him.
What, would you have taken him home?
Aizawa asked with a smirk. He didn't see All Might as a cat person, and was even a bit surprised that Miko had deigned to approach him, but the older hero nodded firmly. At least until he had a temporary home. There's no way I could have left him, knowing he didn't have any food or water. Not as long as I could help. Aizawa's heart did a thing. It was a weird, jumping thing, neither familiar nor easy to swallow. In the same instant that he resented and railed at the symbol of peace and his compulsive need to take on arbitrary burdens, as well as all the complications it brought to his life and those around him, he also knew that Miko had a home in case anything happened. He grunted and looked away as All Might smiled genuinely at him, flashing another idiotic thumbs up. He adjusted his reins around his neck and grumbled something about getting on their way. They did. As the two men walked together those final 200 meters to the main building in simple silence, Aizawa tried to put a finger on what was going on in his chest. And the only thing he could think was that it sort of felt like confetti. Bright yellow confetti.
Shit.
The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!